Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this May 4th, 2024. This is a review of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb of our lesson 407. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny dance. Theme song is a hymn entitled Give of Your Best to the Master.
Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has left the example, dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, give him first place in your heart, give him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Given to you will be given, God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seek him to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, naught else is worthy his love. Give him, he gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are going to ask one of the little tiny tots, by the help of their parents, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Keep it kicking, Sabbath sick, and keep it holy. Thanks, Sabbath, they bring you all their work. In the sun today, the Sabbath of the Lord. And protect the Sabbath worship with our prayer. And please protect. Everybody that's in the Sabbath, count on the Sabbath. Please protect everybody that I know that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, dear ones, this is the time that we ask our dear remnant family how the little ones have been a blessing in the household. For mommies and daddies and family and even among their peers in their school. Whatever you would like to share with the Remnant family, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, one another. For today's mother's helpers, mommy's and daddy's little blessing, I would like to highlight Haley and Emma once more, for always wanting to be a little help. Especially Haley, she's always willing to help to get something to do any little thing that is her little hands can do. And Emma also, sometimes they work together and sometimes they work separately to get these little things done. So I pray that God will continue to bless them, to continue to work together according to his perfect will. And not just in our household, but everywhere that they go, may their little lights continue to shine, that they may glorify God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to be able to share at this moment? May you unmute your mic. Now we will just wait until the family will come in and we will give them another chance later in our study. It's story time, little ones, and we are going to review part 2 of our lesson, chapter 18, before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin, and I will pass the mic to our dear brother.
Good morning again. The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of John, chapter 18. And in verse 19 it says, "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, or what he taught. And when they had thus spoken, when he had thus spoken, one of the officers stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Answerest thou the high priest so?' They had asked him what he taught. Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" And Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. To this Jesus mildly said, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?" John 18:22-23. Christ could have summoned legions of angels from heaven to his aid. That's lots of them. But it was a part of his mission to endure, in his humanity, all the taunts and insults that men might heap upon him. From the house of Annas, the Savior was taken to the palace of Caiaphas. He was to be tried before the Sanhedrin, and while its members were being called together, Annas and Caiaphas again questioned him, but they gained no advantage. When the members of the Sanhedrin had assembled, Caiaphas took his seat as the president. On each side were the judges. Before them stood the Roman soldiers guarding the Savior. Back of these were the accusing mob. Caiaphas then bade or told Jesus to work one of his mighty miracles for them. But the Savior gave no sign that he heard a word. Had he responded by even one soul-searching look, such as he gave the buyers and sellers in the temple, the whole murderous throng would have been compelled to flee from his presence. The Jews were at this time subject to the Romans and were not allowed to punish anyone with death, though they stoned people occasionally. The Sanhedrin could only examine the prisoner and pass judgment to be ratified by the Roman authorities. Or the Roman authorities would agree, yeah, he's a bad guy, we'll kill him for you. To accomplish their wicked purpose, they must find something against the Savior that would be regarded or thought as criminal by the Roman governor. They could secure abundant evidence that Christ had spoken against the Jewish traditions and many of their doctrines. It was very easy to prove that he had denounced the priests and scribes and that he had called them hypocrites and murderers, but this would not be listened to by the Romans, for they themselves were disgusted with the pretensions of the Pharisees. All right, this was taken from Story of Jesus, pages 114 and 115. Back to you, Rose.
Before we ask the questions for the little ones, next Sabbath we'll be continuing with part 3 of our new lesson entitled Before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin in our Tiny Thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place May the 11th, 2024, and I will hand it back to our dear brother.
Okay. From the house of Annas, who was the former high priest, where was the Savior taken?
The answer is for number one. The Savior was taken to the place of Caiaphas, the palace of Caiaphas.
Yes, Jesus was taken to the palace of Caiaphas. They were trying him really early in the morning, and they weren't supposed to do that, but we'll learn about that maybe in the future. What did Caiaphas bade or ask Jesus to do?
The answer is for number two, to work one of his miracles before them.
Yeah, he said, work a miracle for us. I don't know that he promised him he would let him go if he did, but he wanted to see something special. But Jesus had given them all the miracles and all the proofs that he would ever give them, except one. And how did Jesus respond or answer?
The answer is for number three. The Savior gave no sign that he heard a word.
Yep, Jesus didn't answer the demand, the question. I sometimes wonder when we're called into court, when we should keep our silence and when we should speak. We'll have to depend on the Holy Spirit to tell us when to talk and when to keep still. All right, thank you for participating. Back to Rose.
Amen, and I agree also, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It's time for our Tiny Thoughts and parents to review their precious lesson from God creation through nature in our topic, Mommies of the Bible. And we are going to ask our dear brother to be able to share it. So let's have our listening ears, little ones.
We'll be reviewing in last Sabbath's study concerning the mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our review today is taken from the book of Lesson 2, Teach Us to Pray, from the book Matthew, in chapter 6, verses 12 to 13 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And here's the lesson. debts and temptation, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Matthew 6:12. Jesus teaches that we can receive forgiveness from God only as we forgive others. It is the love of God that draws us unto Him, and that our love cannot touch our hearts without creating love for our brethren. Nine of Blessings, page 113. We owe perfect love to God and our fellow men. To the degree that we have not met this duty, we are debtors. Prayer does not keep us from being tempted, but it keeps us from yielding to temptation. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, Matthew 6:13. Christ never abandoned the soul for whom He had died. The soul may leave Him and be overwhelmed with temptation, but Christ can never turn from one for whom He has paid the ransom of His own life. Could our spiritual vision be quickened, we should see souls bowed under oppression, burdened with grief, pressed as a cart beneath sheaves, and ready to die in discouragement. We should see angels flying swiftly to aid these tempted ones who are standing as on the brink of a precipice. The angels from heaven force, I think that was a misprint from the writer, the angels from heaven force back the hosts of evil that encompass these souls and guide them to plant their feet on the sure foundation. The battles waging between the two armies are as real as those fought by the armies of this world. Now, the issue of the spiritual conflict, eternal destinies depend. The Mount of Blessings, page 118, 119. Forgiveness means the repentant person is sent away in peace. Debts means moral and spiritual indebtedness. We owe something, or we have neglected to do something. A debt is equal to sin, and a debtor is equal to a sinner. But temptation means trial or test. God will not remove them, but sustains us through them. As much as we can, we should avoid being tempted. We cannot sincerely ask God to lead us not to temptation if we walk in it without purpose. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6:13. The last, like the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer, points to our Father as above all our power and authority and every name that is named. Mount of Blessings, page 120. We can receive forgiveness from God only as we forgive others. That's the sentence we remember. And what does debt mean? Right. The answer is in the other rectangle of the moral and spiritual debts, meaning we owe something or we have neglected to use. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come with thee, thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Now that we better understand the Lord's Prayer, we can, with true reverence, say, kneel as a family and say, as we do with opening the Sabbath, closing it, or in prayer when we either want to. And next says, God provide all the necessary things for the mammals, like skin, hair, and a home. God has provided for us all the necessary things for our spiritual protection, like the whole armor of God. Our physical needs are taken care of too. When the Lord comes, wool or flax given to cover her nakedness. Hosea 2:9. It teaches us to trust Him for everything. It says in this text, love hair. Many mammals have hairs around the mouth and head, like called vibrissae or tactile hairs. These hairs are sensitive touch organs. What lesson can the porcupine teach us? Well, the hairs on or quills on this feature help protect it from becoming a predator's next meal. That that keeps in mind how God is our protection and repair where we are protected by sin or by any other physical both red. And on the right side, notice the whiskers on that cat or mouse. Our senses were also given to us for protection. Notice how a dog uses its sense of smell to determine whether something is safe to eat. And below is our dears, our Cecil families give you flash close worship hours when he hears the thing. In these pictures of trees, it says above landscaping and trees. When you see trees around your home, be reminded of the death of Jesus. With Jesus' death will eventually come the death of all sin. In these three pictures, there's a canola field, Baylor Bay in Oregon, and a mustard field. Sister Joan, would you, everybody else in the family, try to share your nature experience from these photos? Continuing. Next is a small poem about flowers. Flowers, beautiful flowers, unfolding to brighten this dark world of ours. The pale sweet blossoms of early spring, bright clusters the days of summer bring, and the gifts of princely autumn too, stately and tall and richest hue, no painter's skill can e'er portray the countless beauties they display. Below the poem are pictures of poppies, and on the right are pictures of lilacs and a lilac bush. In these pictures from last week is the sapphire tile, whose scientific name is Clea alpestris. And it says this in the center, Exodus 24, verse 10, King James Version. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven, his clearness. And on the right, the same quote of the Rainbow Lord. It says below, the origin, the Clea alpestris is native to south central Chile. It grows on dry slopes in the Andes, at elevations of up to 6,560 feet, or 2,200 meters. The Clea alpestris of Sapphire Tower, World of Succulents. It says this here in this text, the Sapphire Tower, Clea alpestris. Clea alpestris, Sapphire Tower. This plant forms a 2 to 3 foot tall clump to rosettes of curving, spiny margins, light green leaves that are silver gray beneath. The leaves is about 1 inch wide at their base and narrow and along 18 to 24 inches in length. That would make it 2 feet. Continue. In spring, but often not every year, appear they're turquoise blue-green flowers, sometimes called metallic or unearthly, with vivid orange stamen anthems held on branch 3 to 4 foot tall stalks. This branch of the inflorescence terminates in a long sterile branch that acts as a perch for nectar-feeding birds. Flowers are also very attractive to bees as the nectar is sweet. Plants in full sun in a well-drained soil where it is drought-tolerant, but it can also be irrigated more regularly. info from the Exotic Seed Emporium.com /pods /Orchidiophestus. The Rainbow Oakkeeper is blends in a sapphire tauty. Says on the right, the left, rainbow, margin, and round about the throne are rainbow, the emblem of divine mercy, education, page 177, paragraph 3. In the middle it says, a brilliantly plumed jewel-like bird, the lorikeet is easily recognized by its distinct coloration, heavy build, and long tail. Below, the rainbow lorikeet occurs in a wide variety of habitats, from human settlements to forests, coconut plantations, savanna, eucalyptus stands, and mangroves. Although the lorikeet inhabits most types of lowlands and wooded country within its range, including swamp forests and segmented growth, it tends to favor edges and disturb the vegetation rather than interior closed canopy formations. Day lorikeets typically occur from sea level to more than 2,000, but will occasionally ascend higher depending on the island's elevation. Continue our reference reading for the Matters of the Bible of our lesson review, chapter 5, the Lord's Prayer, part 3. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Luke 11, 4. Jesus teaches that we can receive forgiveness from God only as we forgive others. It is the love of God that draws us unto Him. That love cannot touch our hearts without creating love for our brethren. Of Now Blessing, page 113, paragraph 2. After completing the Lord's Prayer, Jesus added, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He who is unforgiven cuts off the very channel through which alone he can receive mercy from God. We should not think that unless those who have injured us confess the wrong, we are justified withholding from them our forgiveness. It is their part, no doubt, to humble their hearts by repentance and confession, but we are to have a spirit of compassion toward those who have trespassed against us, whether or not they confess their faults. However sorely they may have wounded us, we are not to cherish our grievances and sympathize with ourselves over our injuries, but as we hope to be pardoned for our offenses against God, we are pardoned all who have done evil to us. Now, blessing page 113, paragraph 3. The prayer, bring us not into temptation, is itself a promise. If we commit ourselves to God, we have the assurance He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Blessing page 118, paragraph 2. The only safeguard against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in His righteousness. It is because selfishness exists in our hearts that temptation has power over us. Continue. When we behold the great love of God, selfishness appears to us in its hideous and repulsive characters, and we desire to have it expelled from the soul. As the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, our hearts are softened and subdued. The temptation loses its power, and the grace of Christ transforms the character. Now, blessing page 118, paragraph 3. Christ will never abandon the soul for whom He has died. The soul may leave Him and be overwhelmed with temptation, but Christ can never turn from one for whom He has paid the ransom of His own life. Could our spiritual vision be quickened, we should see souls bowed under oppression and burdened with grief, pressed as a cart beneath sheaves and ready to die in discouragement. We should see angels flying swiftly to aid these tempted ones, who are standing as on the brink of a precipice. The angels from heaven force back the hosts of evil that encompass these souls, and guide them to plant their feet on the sure foundation. The battles waging between the two armies are as real as fought by the armies of this world, and on the issue of the spiritual conflict, eternal destinies depend. Mild Blessing, page 118, paragraph 4. To us, as to Peter, the word is spoken, seeing that desire to have you, that he may sit to you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Luke 22:31-32. Thank God we are not left alone. He who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Will not desert us in the battle with the adversary of God and man. Behold, he says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Now blessing page 219, paragraph 1. Live in contact with the living Christ. He will hold you firmly by a hand that will never let go. Know and believe the love that God has to us, and you are secure. That love is a fortress impregnable to all the delusions and assaults of Satan. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Proverbs 18. Now blessing page 219, paragraph 2. And here in our review are three bonus questions. Question one is explain Matthew 6:12. And two, explain Matthew 6:13, the first half. And three, explain Matthew 3:6-13, the last half. I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And remember, little ones, give your best to the Master. Give all the strength of your youth. Glad in salvation, full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Because He Lives. You could find it in the hymn book, number 526. If you are familiar with this hymn, dear one, and you would like to be able to share with us, you can unmute your mic to do so. God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He live and die to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds the future. And life is worth living just because He lives.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, And life is worth a living just because he lives. And life is worth a living just because he lives.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open a review section for our family meeting, may you please unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect the way that we're going to be living. And please protect me that's here, me that's not here. Come back to this holy Sabbath. Please protect all the Sabbath keepers and the Sabbath. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, dear one, our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, King James Version marking. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ with God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, your comments, or anything that you would like to share with the Remnant family, we are going to take a few minutes to read our first part of our lesson entitled In Joseph 2 in our study book, The Desired Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 769. At last Jesus was at rest. The long day of shame and torture was ended. As the last rays of the setting sun ushered in the Sabbath, the Son of God lay in quietude in Joseph's tomb. His work completed, his hands folded in peace, he rested through the sacred hours of the Sabbath day. The Desire of Ages, page 769, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 769. In the beginning, the Father and the Son had rested upon the Sabbath after their work of creation. When the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. The Creator and all the heavenly beings rejoiced in contemplation of the glorious scene. the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job chapter 38, verse 7.
Continuing the reading. The results of flow from Christ's completed work, God and angels saw. With this scene, the day upon which Jesus rested is forever linked. For his work is perfect, and whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, and Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. When there shall be a restitution of all things, let us praise our God. And on the slide on the left, it gives the verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, King James Version, and it says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 769. Continuing. Now Jesus rested from the work of redemption. And though there was grief among those who loved him on earth, yet there was joy in heaven. Glorious to the eyes of heavenly beings was the promise of the future, a restored creation, a redeemed race, that having conquered sin, could never fall. Next slide, please. Which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3:21. The creation Sabbath, the day on which Jesus lay at rest in Joseph's tomb, will still be a day of rest and rejoicing. Heaven and earth will unite in praise, as from one Sabbath to another. Isaiah 66:23. The nations of the saved shall bow in joyful worship to God and the Lamb. From the Desire of Ages, page 769, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 770. In the closing events of the crucifixion day, fresh evidence was given of the fulfillment of prophecy and new witness born to Christ's divinity. When the darkness had lifted from the cross and the Savior's dying cry had been uttered, immediately another voice was heard saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, Higher Ages, page 770, paragraph 1.
Continuing. Go ahead, Brother Josh.
The Desire of Ages, page 770. These words were said in no whisper tones. All eyes were turned to see whence they came. Who had spoken? It was the centurion, the Roman soldier, the divine patience of the Savior, and his sudden death with a cry of victory upon his lips. And precious is Ethan, in the bruised, broken body hanging upon the cross. The centurion recognized the form of the Son of God. Next slide, please.
He could not refrain from confessing his faith. Thus, again, evidence was given that our Redeemer was the seed of the travail of his soul. Upon the very day of his death, three men, differing widely from one another, had declared their fate. He who commanded the Roman guard, he who bore the cross of the Savior, and he who died upon the cross at his side. Desire of Ages, page 770, paragraph 2.
Continuing the reading. As evening drew on and an earthly stillness hung over Calvary, a crowd dispersed and many returned to Jerusalem greatly changed in spirit from what they had been in the morning. Many had flocked to the crucifixion from curiosity and not from hatred toward Christ. Still they believed the accusations of the priests and looked upon Christ as a malefactor. Under an unnatural excitement, they had united with the mob in railing against him. But when the earth was wrapped in blackness, continue on the next slide, please. They stood accused by their own consciences. They felt guilty of a great wrong. No jest or mocking laughter was heard in the midst of that fearful gloom. And when it was lifted, they made their way to their homes in solemn silence. They were convinced that the charges of the priests were false, that Jesus was no pretender. And a few weeks later, when Peter preached upon the day of Pentecost, they were among the thousands who became converts to Christ. The Desire of Ages, page 770, paragraph 3. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us consider our verse for review answer, taken from 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, from the King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what we have learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, we are going to repeat the sixth question for those that are able to see the screen. And if you are moved to participate for the edification of the children and the glory to God, you can do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters of this part? The second one is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you would like to take number one, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
So, the answer to number one, who is the main character or characters? The main characters we see here is Jesus. We also saw mentioned the Roman guard. We also mentioned the thief that was on the cross, and also the one who helped to bring the cross. But the main character here lifted was Jesus. The main idea, what is the main idea for the section of the story? Here we saw mentioned Christ being crucified on the cross, but Christ resting on the seventh day, the Sabbath day in Joseph's tomb. And we saw here also referenced was going back to creation, that when heaven and earth and all things were created, that God the Father and Jesus and all the hosts of heaven rested also on the Sabbath day.
The answer to the question B, where did the story take place? First at Golgotha or Calvary and Joseph's tomb.
Number four is taking place on Calvary's cross, where we see that the Lord dies. And then from there, he goes to his tomb.
My answer to question 5, how can you relate to this story? Jesus ended his ministry on God's day of rest and heaven rejoiced. But by his death, that's how sin was meant to be conquered. And now how they came to pass, heaven was pretty joyous because as soon as his death came to pass, then that means and sin and was as good as going to be conquered, and eventually in the future that it will actually be extinct for good, and that and how we as his people will be saved from it.
Number 6, what I learned is that by Christ dying on the cross, it took for him to die on the cross for many to understand that he was, first of all, Christ, then our Savior, and also for many to reflect and to know that he was indeed the Son of God. And sometimes it's gonna be, and it is, by great sacrifice that some will be converted.
We have a question. You could go, dear sister, would you like to ask it on the mic?
Sure. Something stood out to me when we were rereading the story, and I just wanted to just ask it out for just for the clarity. It's not just for me, but for anyone who might have this question as well. It, one of the slides, I don't remember the exact number, it says that the work of redemption was done. And I just wanted just to make a circle in my brain. The work of, now Jesus rested from the work of redemption. And I wanted to just ask, I believe because he died up on the cross, once he gave himself a sacrifice, that the work of redemption was done. But it's still going on. Is the work of redemption still going on? Or I guess is what I'm trying to ask, because we're still here on repentance ground, right? We're still here day by day. And though the act of him dying on the cross was done, my brain is going, I'm so sorry, I don't have the full thing, but I hope you understand what I was trying to ask.
It's okay, dear sister. Well, we know that there is three parts. You know, from the beginning of the plan of salvation, we have justification. The justification is that Christ did the work of covering and fulfilling all of the sacrificial. Remember, he redeemed us, but first he justified us through dying on the cross. We are continuing the plan of redemption through sanctification and also to glory, which is to perfection. So it is ongoing, but it's divided based on what is written in the scripture. Christ became a justification by dying in the cross. He covers us, but also he's sanctifying us also through the truth. And as we are receiving the truth, we are being sanctified by his word and the power of the Holy Spirit also by allowing us to be able to become a new creature. And then we also have the last part, which is we cannot go to heaven with sin. We are going to be holy just as the Father. So the plan of salvation is continuing. And if anybody else would like to be able to share, may you unmute your mic.
Amen. Amen.
And sin will never rise again the second time. So throughout eternity, there will be no individual, no saved human, no unfallen universe that's going to commit sin by choice. So we're always going to have the freedom of choice, and it's only through the plan of salvation that sin will never rise again the second time.
And we are so glad that Satan shall be no more by God's grace, so he can continue to taunt God's people, and heaven truly will be heaven. Is there anybody else that would like to be able to share? What I have learned with this lesson is how beautiful that even nature teaches us. It needs the death of the Savior in order to bring a harvest, as the ending of our study. It tells you how, with his death, a few weeks later, here comes Peter giving the gospel. And the amount of many souls that were saved. In nature also, the fruit has to fall on the ground in order for us to have a true harvest. And it's so beautiful that in different ways, the Lord shows the plan of salvation. And not only earth will be glorifying God for giving his only begotten son, but also the whole universe was glorifying. Even though many were mourning, here they have what was happening in heaven. And it's really good for our little ones to be able to see that sometimes the death will bring joy. And it's not only mournful, but there was a purpose for that. And we are so grateful that the Lord had given his son to save all of us and even the universe from Satan. Anybody else would like to share their ones? We are going to continue in our study. Welcome to any one of the brethren that are just coming in. We are sharing thoughts, favorite poem, and also special music. Our thought is taken from a devotional book from the Spirit of Prophecy, Lift Him Up, entitled All Heaven is Watching, pages 126 and paragraph 125. And the opening scripture to our reading is taken from John chapter 5, verse 39, from the King James Version, and it reads, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
This is an age of unrest, and the youth drink deeply of its spirit. Would that they could be made to realize the importance and the peril of the position they occupy. Would that parents and Sabbath school teachers could be led to see their duty to guide them wisely. Never before have there been so many important interests at stake. Never were such momentous issues before any generation as await the one now coming upon the stage of action. Never were the youth of any age or country so earnestly observed by the angels of God as are the youth today. All heaven is watching with intense interest for every indication of the characters they are forming, whether when brought to the test, they will stand firmly for God and the right or be swayed by worldly influences. From Lift Him Up, page 127, paragraph 2.
God has a great work to be done in a short time. He has committed to the youth talents of intellect, time, and means, and he holds them responsible for the use they make of these good gifts. He calls upon them to come to the front, to resist the corrupting, bewitching influences of this fast age, and to become qualified to labor in his cause. They cannot become fitted for usefulness without putting heart and energy into the work of preparation. Christian principles must be developed by being cherished and brought into active exercise. Self-control must be gained by earnest effort, aided by the grace of God. Lift Him Up, page 127, paragraph 3.
When the young choose the service of Christ and prove that through divine aid they have the moral principle to govern self, they are powerful good, and an influence goes out from them that leads others to glorify God. Lift Him Up, page 127.
It is a divine law that blessings come at some cost to the receiver. Those who would become wise in the sciences must study, and those who would become wise in regard to the to Bible truth, that they may impart that knowledge to others, must be diligent students of God's holy word. There is no other way. They must search the scriptures diligently, interestedly, prayerfully. Precious words of promise and encouragement, of warning, reproof, and instruction are there found. They will learn of Christ's love, the value of His blood, and the wonderful privileges afforded by His grace. Lift Him Up, page 127, paragraph 5.
The Bible should be the Christian's textbook. Of all books, it should be made of the most attractive to the young. If they drink deep of its spirit, they will be prepared to withstand the wiles of Satan and to resist the temptations of this infidel age. By its simple beauty of language, its elevated sentiments, and its stirring truthfulness, its tenderness and pathos, the words of God is well calculated to impress the mind and impart rich lessons. Youth Instructor, May 7, 1884.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our poem is entitled The Good Shepherd. This was taken from Children Activity, Book Year 3, Quarter 1, Lesson 5, from page 124, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1, I have found a straight way and narrow way, a pleasant path from day to day. Come, children, choose this blessed road. It leads to glory, leads to God.
The broad road once was my delight, before my Savior gave me sight. And though the world may pleasures bring, yet worldly pleasures leave a sting.
But peace there is in bright way, the world gives not nor takes away. O, keep me humble at thy feet. Diligently thy life keep.
O come, the angels wait today to bear the glorious new away. Great joy in heaven will there be, or every child from sin set free.
Children, your parents weep and pray, and mourn to see you go astray. O come, no longer grieve your God. Accept His Son, obey His word.
Day come and now, no longer wait. Another hour may be too late. The Savior's work will soon be done. The Spirit cease to whisper, come.
Number 7. Come, children. Jesus pleading stands, calls out to you, His nails scarred scarred hands. For you he suffered on the cross. Oh, now for him count all things lost.
This way is not a dreary way, with Jesus near us every day. Oh, come and try it, taste his love, be faithful, and there's rest above. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful rose. It's the pink one, if everyone can see it in the room. Our special music, taken from Scripture Singer Song in the section Character Building, Our Savior is Calling, Our Dear Little Ones. Well, dear ones, if you have a testimony or anything you would like to share with your dear remnant family, if we don't have the time now, you can be able to share it with us either in between the services or after the services to the glory of God. Welcome to all the dear brethren. We have come to the ending of our study, dear ones. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be May 11th, 2024, we are going to proceed with part 2 of our new chapter 80, entitled In Joseph's Tomb, of our lesson 408. So dear ones, if anyone would like to be able to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for bringing us once more to the Sabbath day from this long week. Father, we thank you for bringing us some different paths and different experiences, Father Jesus. As we move on, we want to thank the little ones for their participation and also their parents, Father Jesus. Bless us continuously with all the lessons that you are providing for us. We pray for the ones that are experienced loss and are grieving. We pray, Father Jesus, that you uplift them today in our family. Be with us as we continue into the next section of the studies. Continue to pour on us your blessings. Uplift our minds. Father Jesus, bless the speaker, pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So before we leave, dear ones, I would like to leave a scripture and also a margin quotation from the book Prophets and Kings, page 83, paragraph 1. The scripture is taken from Isaiah 33, verse 6, King James, and it reads, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength and salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And the quotation is, "Here is the only safeguard for individual integrity, for the purity of the home, the well-being of society." Sorry, the well-being of society, or the stability of the nation, amid all life's perplexities and dangers and conflicting claims. The one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he that does these things shall never be moved. This is taken from Psalms 19, verse 8, and 15, verse 5. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.